Welcome to the Art Burrito Podcast with Jason Wilkins. Life, art, marketing, and all the deliciousness in between. Here we go.
Check. Who's audio? Oh, that would be you, audio one.
Somebody write me a check.
Check one, check two.
Yeah, yours looks good. Yeah. So it's cool. Is it recording now?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you can just start anytime. We can
just cut that out.
Yeah, we can do it at the beginning if you want. Anytime.
Okay.
Oh shit. I'll slide me one of those
Oh, there you go. You think it exploded.
Yeah, that's okay. I got a vodka Red Bull to work my way through.
Oh no.
What's going on there?
I don't know.
She probably won't hear it though.
I doubt it.
Whatever.
All right.
That's funny.
Okay.
I think we're ready.
Welcome to episode number 30.
Tighten that thing there.
Of the Art Burrito Podcast. Yeah.
30.
The upper one.
What's that?
See, like if you, I think that might be, you want there. The. Well,
that's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is the show's picking up?
Okay. I'm going to start again.
One sec. Just give me 2 seconds.
Yeah.
There it is.
Check.
Good.
I think I'm in.
Okay. Welcome to the Art Burrito Podcast, episode number 30. And, man, it's been some time.
It's been a minute.
It's been, okay. So I did some over COVID, but over the phone. And then I made the decision to put a stop on it because podcasts, I've personally discovered that they suck over the phone.
Yeah.
So we like to have it like this where we can see people and we can drink beer. And we're going to do that now.
It's going to take me a minute to pop this.
People
thing,
can't see, but you guys can't see, but there's beer that looks like it's been shaken. It's going to explode.
Yeah. I'm about to destroy all the gear here.
Oh, nope, gosh.
It worked.
I think I got to use the knife here. This
one's Jordan's pulling out the knife.
This one's a little bit.
Oh, Mike, move your hands.
Mm.
What are you talking about?
I wish we had video for that.
Ooh, beer.
That would have been awesome. Actually, I might have you do it again, and I'll take a picture. But yeah. So I'm gonna be a little rusty because everyone being locked up, and of course myself included, it's like, yeah, you just get rusty all the way around. So speaking to people doesn't happen very often. It's just.
It's not the same.
It's not the same at all.
Yeah, I noticed that with like our first, once we kind of get it back into like sales meetings and stuff.
Oh man.
I was like, I was like a child. I didn't know what to do.
No, it's kind of crazy. And everybody, oh yeah. So Jordan and Sean are here from Newfoss Media. And it just made sense to have them on first after all this stuff.
This is a big one for you too.
Well, yeah.
Episode
30.
Also one year.
And we're 1 year in.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. And it's really good to be back and doing it again. And we're in a new space. So Jordan, Sean, and I took over 383. Are we 383?
Yeah.
383 George above Flavor Fashion downtown Peterborough. On the main drag, and it is a beautiful spot, and there's tons of room for us to skateboard and parkour off the walls
That's
and
right.
stuff, which we do every day.
We're doing it every day. Getting a lot of parkour.
Very athletic.
But it's wicked. So that's a testament also to when shit goes down, it doesn't necessarily mean you stop. In fact, you should most likely keep making moves. And in this case, we literally made a move and I moved my house too. So lots has happened over the last, especially in July. And so today I kind of wanted to focus on, literally just making it through this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not just creatives, not just entrepreneurs. And I don't have to tell people out there because everyone's being affected. It doesn't matter who you are. That said, I'm not loving the we're all in this together. I get it. We are. but some people aren't being affected at all. At least not right now. My industry specifically, like freelancers, creatives that are, you know, literally just taking stuff as it comes, and you know, they're not on a payroll. Mm-hmm. And then of course the entertainment or event industry, which was half my business, is gone now. And I feel for those people. My agent Idea Hunter in Toronto, mm-hmm. decimated.
Yeah.
Like they had 10 employees and they're all gone.
Wow.
Like they laid them off?
Laid them off.
Like they're not coming back.
I don't know if they're coming back. I don't know what's going on there. But the two originals who started it, a mother-daughter team.
Yeah. Still doing it?
They're doing it, trying to get virtual going.
Virtual
events, which is not ideal, clearly.
That's a weird space to be in, like virtual events. I just heard on, what was it, like 105.1? Is that Pure Country?
Yeah.
Up here? They're doing like bubble, your like bubble shows where you drive in. It's almost like a drive-in show, and you like stay in your car.
There's lots of that happening. Like there's one in Havelock, like weekly. There's one in Bethany where Devil's Elbow used to be.
Okay.
There's one in Lindsay, I'm pretty sure. And there's like country acts and things like that. But the Chainsmokers, I think it was, you know that band?
Yeah.
The Chainsmokers had a drive-in concert a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago now. And they're getting investigated by the FBI now, apparently, because like, and it's really not even their fault. So it's kind of bullshit. Well, maybe. No, that's not what it's about. So they had this drive-in concert, but I guess everyone who came to the concert said fuck it and got out of their car, and it was like a massive rave, pretty much, right? Like if you see the pictures, it's a rave.
Yeah.
People are like raving at the front. There's like cars everywhere, but no one's in them, right?
Really?
So, you know, how much can you pin that on the Chainsmokers,
that's
right?
Not their fault.
It's really not. Like I'm sure, I don't know if they were like, you know, inciting it or anything like that, but
that's the people, man. People are just gonna do that.
Yeah, that's
if
the
you
people.
Get enough people together and somebody starts doing something,
mm-hmm.
like
it doesn't matter. That's human nature too.
Like, yeah,
you're not everyone's gonna comply. It's just not how it works.
Well, yeah, and part of that too is just it's totally uncharted territory on how to navigate that kind of thing, because you know they're trying to have a concert and they're trying to be responsible with the whole drive-in thing or whatever. Then you get it. Couple idiots and then just snowballs that way, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
It's a rave.
There's like people outside of their cars, like there's like a standing section. It looks like a regular like
there's
like
a
front
pit.
Row.
There's a pit.
There's a pit.
So I don't know what happened. Anyways, they're getting investigated for that, which kind of sucks.
That's
but
nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird to see the whole thing unfold, like from the very beginning. How people jumped on stuff so quick, like, oh, we got to do stuff to fundraise, and blah, blah, blah. And which is great, but I don't know. It's just the way things kind of have unfolded is just bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And even now seeing people out when you're out, like, with masks on, and it feels like a sci-fi movie still.
It's a weird new world.
And I don't know if it's going to be, they're saying, like, 2 to 3 years, like, of this. And I don't know if it's ever going to feel 100% normal, but...
Mm-hmm. They were thinking of just making the masks mandatory for a couple of years until there's a, like,
right.
a proven vaccine.
Yeah, and the
right?
social distancing and stuff like that. And then, of course, the kids going back to school is a whole other thing. And online is just being lit up with parents.
What's going on with your kids
in
school?
They're going... So Callie starts junior kindergarten.
Yeah.
So we're sending her, but then we found out after what the classes are going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed the pictures of the classes. So they've taken away the toys. They've taken away the books.
She's in kindergarten? She's going into
junior kindergarten.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and it's like, at that age, it's about connections with the kids.
Sure, you're not
and
learning
kids.
Anything. It's
and
just
play,
social.
And
yeah.
it's play-based learning.
Yeah.
So... The only upside right now is they don't know any different. And and my wife and I, Heidi and I, were talking about, like, if she just goes in and has some interaction with kids and then comes home, okay.
Yeah.
You know, that's not even taking into consideration the risk of them being there to begin with. I don't know. Nobody knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Ford said something like, let's pray to God they're okay. Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I saw another funny thing is somebody... It was like a, a tweet, somebody screenshot or whatever. It was like, funny, I tried to call my MPP's office to talk to them about, I guess she was a teacher, talk to them about the safety of the kids basically coming back to school. And well, wouldn't you know, I just got a voicemail saying their office was closed due to COVID-19. So apparently it's fine to pack 25 kids into a classroom, but yeah. The MPP that said it's okay won't even go into their office.
And government buildings shut down. Most were shut down.
Well, went out for drinks with Keaton Robbins, who is a I don't know exactly what his role, marketing guy, I guess, at Peter Rowe and Kawartha Economic Development here in town, and he said that they may never go back to the office, ever.
Yeah, I've seen a few people, like Twitter made the move of they're like. No, that's it. Everyone's home.
And he's loving it. He said he was loving it and making the best of it.
Yeah.
And saying, like, you know, I get to hang out with my wife and stuff a lot more. And like, they don't have kids yet, but so that's probably why he's loving it. But
yeah. The whole thing's been an interesting test because, like, I'm home with Callie all day mostly. And, like, as you guys know, I'll come and complain that. It's hell.
Yeah.
Now that's me on, like, you know, it's up and down. Like I love being home with her. And like I said to Heidi, like you get to know them so much more because you're with them all the time. Mm-hmm. And then there's just, I don't know how stay at home parents do it. I just couldn't do it. I'm doing it, but I can't keep doing it.
Yeah.
I just can't. And I love her to death, but man, what a job. Like, it is insane. And I don't know. And I think that's another reason why she doesn't have to go back to school in September. But I'm like, listen, like so many other parents out there, A, I need to dedicate time to work, which is falling behind.
For sure.
And B, I just need time. Mm-hmm. People just need time. They're going to go fucking crazy.
Yeah, you need some time to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but to put a positive spin on all this, which I think is important to do, I mean, because it's a waste of time doing it any other way.
Yeah.
is like,
it's not going away.
It's not going away. So I think there's new opportunities born from everything. This is one of them,
mm-hmm.
You know, you can find new ways to do things. And like, I'm lucky cause like the stuff I do is pretty diverse. So I can, when one thing craps out, I can jump to another and then still have some income coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Like my mural work is still going and my illustration stuff is still going. So, and there's, you know, there's opportunities out there.
Also good because there doesn't need to be, you know, like a lot of people around.
Yeah.
Right? Like
no, there doesn't.
You fit right into that social distance sort of.
That part of it hasn't bothered me because I'm kind of a loner anyway. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
But again, people who thrive on being around other people, super hard.
Yeah, that's me, man. I like for a while, just going batty. I'm really social and I need that kind of social activity, and for a while there it was just completely out of the question, and I didn't even try it, you know. I mean, Telsey and I were having dinner and stuff with Sean and Kat,
yeah
that was
every
like
now and again, but
small bubble,
that was our social outings, right? Like they would come over and play a board game and just be the four of us, and keeping the bubble small and have a good dinner, and that was a blast. Like that was that was exactly what I needed at that time, but still, like, you know, you're when you're used to going out and like go to the bar and you can just mingle with a bunch of strangers and say like what up to everybody, and you know, you meet someone cool that night and you're like, oh, that guy was awesome and I learned a new thing or whatever.
Yeah,
it's just not possible. And I just don't know when that's going to be possible. I mean, the bars and stuff are open up again now, but you can't walk around.
Well, you'd be punched in the mouth if you went to another table.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You'd be like, get away from me.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them, right? And so you're like, oh, sweet. Yeah, you can go out again. But you're just going out with the same people you've been hanging out with, just among other people around you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, early on, when everything was shut down, that was super interesting because I went to get food and you come home.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Well, not to mention this happened when things were still pretty chilly.
Yeah.
So it's not like you could go and have a great old, like, I don't know, go
for a swim or whatever. Yeah. One creepy thing was when it first, like, end of March, you know, beginning of April sort of thing, Sean and I would be working at the office when we were over on Hunter Street still, and come out, and sometimes we'd be working there late, and you'd come out at, like, 10 o'clock at night on a Friday when usually it's just raging, packed right downtown. Yeah. You come outside and it's like you can hear crickets chirping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's eerie. Nobody. It was eerie.
That was weird. Yeah.
It looked post-apocalyptic for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would come into the old studio as well over on over on water, and during the day, and yeah, super quiet, middle
Same
of the day,
deal.
Downtown, bizarre,
creepy.
So, what has changed for you guys? Like anything? As far as, because a lot of what you guys can do anyways is remote. Like, it's not like you can do that. You can do, you know, just phone calls. You can do like how are you finding it now? What have you kind of been through that way?
Well, it's definitely picked up now, but it slowed down for us in almost a annoying way because, like I said, we can do everything still. You know, we can just work remote and all of our employees can work remote too. It's just a matter of our clients had to scale back, you know, so we couldn't be collecting those monthly fees anymore because they're like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how long this is going to go. So we need to kind of hold on to our money and we're going to have to stop payment for a few months. And so although we could still operate and still keep building sites, still managing socials, still doing digital ads, there's no real point of doing digital ads for a restaurant that is going to be closed for who knows how long.
Exactly.
Right? Like restaurants and stuff didn't need it because they were overworked with Uber, you know, Uber Eats and Skip the Dishes and stuff because that's all you could do for the first couple of months was eat.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's all I did.
That's right. That's right.
And looking at the Uber Eats bill for the month at like, you know, $300-$400.
Pretty scary,
$400,
right?
Yeah, like, oh, no.
And I bought groceries? Why?
Yeah.
But, we were able to do a lot of stuff for a lot of businesses, but there were some that
had to pull back.
Pulled back. But it's back. It's been back up and, up and running since, early June?
What are we? We're in August now?
May June, it kind of like...
Yeah, June probably is when it really started to kick off again. Yeah. Things started opening up and all that.
I'd find the same. I'm noticing a pickup of even just regular stuff for me too. People are
anxious to get back.
They're gearing up for what they're hoping is going to be maybe not the end of this, but where things can almost get right back to normal until they're not again. And there's a freaking
kid baby crying.
And we're at the other. Okay, so just some context. How long is our studio? Like,
jeez, I don't know.
40 feet.
Yeah, I'm gonna say somewhere around
40 feet. It's probably 20 to the window, and there's a kid screaming outside. We should go check and make sure.
Sounds like a baby just been left in a stroller out there. Anyway, but anyways, go back to your question there, Jace, for a second.
Okay, so that's good that things are picking back up.
Yeah, I mean, well, and at the start too, we saw a little bit as well. I should say because although restaurants were, like overrun with Uber Eats and things like that, with certain places like specifically retail stores like clothing stores and things like that, they were scrambling to pivot in a way that would allow them to operate still. And so basically all that is online shopping, right? And so a lot of businesses just weren't set up for online shopping, or they were but it just wasn't really refined too much yet.
I saw a lot of that where people were building that into their site.
So we were able to snatch up a bit of business that way, and that really like brought us through those couple months
because kind of carried us through this, which is awesome.
I had a few of those come through where I did this thing for like Thomas the Tank Engine, right? And it was his 75th birthday, and they're like, oh, what are we going to do? So I did characters that went out to influencers to celebrate his birthday stuff. You can do virtually online, whatever. But all my thought was, I mean, obviously me and my family. And so I started like hoarding money. So every time it would come in, I'd be like, I need everything up front. Okay. And then I'll get the work done. And then, but then I was also thinking about like downtown here, where restaurants and businesses live so close to the wire as it is anyway, because you know, the food is perishable. Like, you know, and I saw a lot of that, and I can't imagine what was going through their heads.
Foreclosure.
It would have just been.
That's what was going through their heads.
It would have been terrifying. Like
they're having dreams of themselves nailing up boards on the thing, and like, I was working with someone. Who was it? A friend of mine works for a construction company in Bowmanville, and she was saying that they were getting contracts from like Much Music and stuff like that to go and, like, when there was protests and things like that starting up, they would go to Toronto and board up all the windows of Much Music.
Yeah.
And then for like a couple days, and then they would call them and be like, hey, we have like a shoot, like a photo shoot or a video shoot or something like that tomorrow. Can you guys come and take down all the boards and then come back later and put them all back up? God. And so like they had a couple of like really strange jobs like that, right?
Yeah.
So
there was again, a lot of that.
It's all about the adaptation and all that. But, yeah.
Being able to pivot your business, depending on what the business is, it's not possible.
No, I know. Even,
like, you could, restaurants down here in Hunter, some of them weren't, I don't think, they were late to the game as far as being able to, like, deliver or pick up or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Or they just chose not to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think some businesses now are thriving off the patio.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think it's 180 built the...
180's got a humongous patio. They built the patio.
Extended their patio, it's awesome. And it's always full.
Yeah.
So, that's probably saving grace for them, or else what would they do?
Yeah.
Right?
Like, well, okay, so let's all weigh in, I think, on a bit of a controversial issue in Peterborough, which is the lane closures downtown, like Hunter Street going. Yeah, I mean, as a driver, like, you're obviously going to hate it, but I mean, as a business owner that's now able to extend their patio like 180 did, or any of the other restaurants, like Old Stone and Hot Bellies and Cork and Bean on George Street would have been fucked. They have no patio space.
Nothing.
They would have to only be inside. But then again, you get the other side of the conversation. Like, I've been reading articles that the business owners hate it as well. You know, because they're saying that people are getting tickets for curbside pickup because there's nowhere to park, or they're like, what's the point of me coming to get it if I got to park four blocks away and then come and walk and get it?
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I don't like it is the parking situation, because, I mean, I live, a 10-minute walk away, and the other day, it took me 15 minutes. To drive in and park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? So I should have walked.
Well, I was one of the first ones. The grumpy old man came out at me. And I was like, this is ridiculous. You know, what is this on the streets? I can't, what? Yeah. You know, like, and then you start seeing, like, okay, there's like a real benefit.
Yeah. It helps keep the businesses open and stuff. And so it is a good thing.
So I didn't hear much more about it after. There's initial complaints, and then I kind of just petered off, because people get so used to things right? Like,
it does look ugly.
Sure it does.
It looks ugly. Like, it looks like a construction zone.
Oh, anybody coming from out of town, I don't know how it is in other cities, but anyone coming from out of town, if it's not that way there, it would look super weird. And you'd be like, how do you navigate, like, down here? I mean, but I think it is keeping things going, keeping things open.
Yeah, I mean, there was that initial pilot project where they tried to do it, and I think they shut George Street down completely, didn't they?
They shut
for the weekend. Mm-hmm. But they shut it down for Friday and like Saturday morning. It was supposed to go to Sunday night, and then Saturday morning they just like issued a statement where they're like,
so much pushback.
You know what? I think we opened it back up immediately.
And also, I think it was because they didn't really warn any businesses about it, so there weren't many businesses that were able to, you know, like get the picnic tables out there and do that. I think Bar Vita was the only one.
Mm-hmm.
That had a patio in that on that first day.
Yeah.
And then there were so many complaints that they, you know, they took it all down and then redid it, and did it also on Hunter and Charlotte, which is where they should have started it, because there's more bars and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it also, it's like, how are you going to get mad at these businesses like the Cork and Bean, like Old Stone and like Hot Bellies, where, you know, they're doing it because they don't have a patio, and then you're mad at them because they don't have patio furniture all of a sudden, you know, and like a fence built and shit. Yeah. Just like, you know, the reason we're doing this is because we have no money.
Yes.
Okay. Like, how am I supposed to just like, and not only that, there's like a premium on lumber and shit now. Yeah. So it's like,
well,
I went
and ate at Capitoro and it was,
is it good there? How is it?
Awesome.
Yeah.
The past is awesome. It's all fresh and oh my god.
I trust Jace's
pasta. I'm a pasta fiend, and it was really good. They had no umbrellas when they first did it, and it was it was when Adrian and I moved the studio over here.
Yeah,
this wasn't that long ago. But they had just started doing the patio thing, I think, and it was blazing. And we're like, oh, I'm like, pasta. Okay, so eating pasta in 40 degree weather isn't as as pleasant as So. Well, what are you going to do? These businesses are just trying to navigate everything like everybody else, right? Yeah. So what I want to do is touch on, because this is what I promoted in the post, so we should probably do it. it is basically how to kind of come out of this winning, right? Like how do you, I don't care what kind of business you are right now, like how do you make it through this? And like me personally, I don't care. If I can just hang on to it, just hang on by the just by the skin of my teeth until whatever happens in the near future, I don't know. What would you guys, you know, a couple things each even, just like what would you suggest to people or what would you look at doing just to keep yourself going? Because you, like you said, you guys have kind of made it through the first little bit of this. And
I think the first thing is kind of a mindset change and, you know, really to set expectations properly, because a lot of people, you know, with this whole thing going on, they're like, well, I'm not making what I used to. And for a lot of people, what they were used to making is more than they need.
That's true.
Yeah. Right. So I think the first step is to kind of scale back your expectations to, you know, this is a crazy time. I need to focus on how I can meet my needs. And then once you've kind of done that, you can scale past it.
Yeah.
And you can then learn how to thrive. But until you learn how to, you know, sort of meet your basic needs, there's people get so stressed out about like, well, how am I going to make all that money?
Yeah.
You know, how am I going to get it back to, get it back to what it used to be?
Yeah. Right.
And I just think that's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's the wrong way to do it.
I'm guilty of that early. Yeah. Well, maybe even now. I don't know.
So I'm guilty of it today.
I'm still spending like not the same, but I'm still, you know, still eating out, still doing stuff that I should be cutting back on. But it's like, then you kind of want to live too.
Yeah. Like, I'm with you.
That's, you know, there is a quality of life that needs to be met. And that's part of it, because you need social interaction. Humans are social creatures and stuff. So you know, include that in your expectations, but I wouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
I just think there's a lot of people who were sort of thriving before and you know, getting a lot.
Yes.
That are pissed because they're not doing as well.
They're not still getting it.
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if this isn't already obvious to everyone out there, like, don't be just sitting around waiting for things to go back to normal.
Yeah. That was going to be one of my points
and
too.
And just be like, you know, okay, you need to really buck up and, adjust your lifestyle basically, or adjust the way that you make money, or adjust the way that you live, right?
Yeah.
In order to to stay
afloat. It's funny, I saw this thing even early on. It was basically saying, listen, don't feel guilty if you want to have a day of sitting back and relaxing, or don't feel guilty if you don't want to do anything. And I'm like, what? No. Like, I'm of the opposite mindset, where I guess maybe if you have the luxury of being home and you're still getting paid, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no. Like, I need to find new ways now.
Well,
of doing
so much
stuff.
Of that shit comes up my Facebook account.
It's like,
just like,
relax.
Hey, you're doing everything you can. I'm like, really? You're going to make that a blanket statement? Because, like,
you think,
dude,
everybody's doing it.
I think I'm doing a lot, and I still would never say,
no,
I'm doing everything I can every minute of the day. Because it's just not true. Are
now,
you fucking kidding me? Like,
the flip side of this is the severe end of it, where people are really, really, really mentally affected by it. Like, to the point where those people need to just chill.
If you have COVID, stay home and chill.
Yeah. Like, Or if you're, you know, like, if you're working yourself to death or to shingles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because that happened to me.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, if you're stressing out that much, like,
then yes,
your body knows when you need to sit down and relax. And and I got checked, you know,
yeah,
by, you know, my body's healthcare system.
Yeah, isn't that it's fucking amazing how that can just kick in.
And it's there for a reason.
Yeah.
And I think if you're not pushing it a little bit to the point where you're sort of, you know, it's really a realization that okay, I need to relax more.
Yes.
Then you're probably not doing everything you can.
Yeah.
You know, that Facebook post probably doesn't apply to
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah, I think that's real crap. Like, you know, it's supposed to be inspirational and all that stuff, but you're just like giving people an out to be lazy and stuff. You know, it's
right now is, well, for me anyway, you need, and that was one of my points, is you just got to keep working. And for visual artists especially, you got to keep putting stuff out. You have to keep, because you're going to get lost. And when you come out of this thing, people aren't going to remember you. So you want to, you know, because
other people are doing it, you know, other people are working.
People are working. And guess what? People are at home looking at their phones.
Yeah.
So like, if you're not putting stuff out there, there's missed opportunity. Well, crazy.
Yeah. And anything that you're doing is like, especially now is like under heavy competition. Like nobody came to me and Sean said, hey, can I just give you 10 grand for this service? No way. Like, we put out more ads. We pumped our social, like did some interviews with the Chamber of Commerce, like did everything. We've got ourselves out there as much as we can, because with our business especially, there's tons of competition.
Yeah.
Like anyone could just scoop those clients up, you know?
Yeah.
So
we're
like, okay, we need to do something right now.
Yeah.
And that's something else worked, I had too. Thankfully, but
And that's a good point I had down too, was about ads. Like, I always teeter on this one because, you know, you can put some, you can funnel some money into ads, and then you get nothing in return at the end, and then you could be fucked. I don't know if you don't have the money.
Well, if you're not doing it correctly, it's very, very easy to lose money on
that's
ads.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I've done it so often now where it's like, okay, I kind of know what's going to work and what's not. So I've kind of kept those running too, not to the level I was maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important, like making sure that, because then they're still pretty cheap, and you're getting yourself front and center with those people that are sitting at home on the couch looking at their phone. Like,
there's so many free ways to advertise. I don't think you should be putting money into advertising until you're using all of those free ways of advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And for a creative, that, you know, those ways are, you know, social media and that sort of thing. And so, like, unless you're constantly putting stuff out, like don't do one thing and then put a bunch of ads into it and sit back. Like,
no,
that's a waste of
money. No, what I do is I find something that, if I've created something that I really love, then I'll be like, that deserves an ad, and that should go out.
Yeah.
And then you just keep posting, of course. Mm-hmm. You don't just leave that to go, and you just sit back and,
Well, the other
wait
thing
for
is,
it to come in. Like, no.
Yeah, the other thing is to not be ignorant about your proficiency in creating the ads. You know, like, you've been doing it for a while, so you know what you're doing, kind of, and, like, what works and what doesn't, keywords and all that, but the amount of times that we've taken over someone's, I've already got a Google Ads account. I'm like, okay, perfect. So, like, give us the passwords and we'll go in and check it out and optimize it or change what we need to. 90% of the time, we just tear it down. Because, like, they're doing stuff in there and, like, you know, they've tried their best, obviously, and they're like, I'm just losing money on this. Like, nothing is coming through. We go and look at it.
You look up there.
The ad is 15% optimized. And you're like, of course you're losing money on this. Like, what are you thinking?
See, that's when I was talking to you before about doing it for me. Because my stuff's very visual, so it's easy for people to see and understand.
Yeah.
Whereas there's other stuff where people absolutely need you guys.
Or it's high competition sectors, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, even for mine, I'm definitely not maxing out on what I can do with which is why I
optimize
you guys.
Yeah.
But there's opportunity out there. And like you said, Sean, like, you don't have to fork out cash.
Yeah.
Some people are doing nothing.
Yeah. Well, and that's so, the thing. Like, don't work yourself to death and don't do that. But you do have to double down on what does work.
Yeah.
And, you know, and reduce expectations. And one, you'll be happier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to work more.
Yeah.
And then you receive more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So. Yeah. I think another piece of advice I had down here, and I'll probably always remember this, was mid-March, I had about 2 to 3 really big jobs in Toronto at the convention center lined up, and I had it made for a couple months for sure, like off those. Mm-hmm. And I got a phone call one after the other mid-March.
God.
Hey, Jason, sorry, you know, we've been told we can't come to Toronto. This one company was from Nova Scotia, and they were coming in to do a trade show.
Right.
They hired me ahead of time, And I'm like, okay. And that was a good one. And then another one. And so I looked at Heidi. And I was like, I said, they're all gone. Like, mm-hmm. And then it's easy at that moment to go into panic mode, right?
Oh, yeah.
And oh, yeah. I probably did. I don't remember that part. I probably did. But I remember, just remember specifically thinking, what next?
Yeah.
Okay, so those are gone. Mm-hmm. Now what? Mm-hmm. That's usually what I go to.
Yeah.
So what can I do now? So I think that's a piece of advice for people who, and again, this is for everybody. Just don't panic. Like,
yeah.
Because when you panic, me personally, because it happens for sure, of course, because when you work for yourself, you get there.
yeah, that's inevitable.
Right?
Yeah.
It just happens. And I'm better at training myself now to talk myself down a little bit and be like, okay, you did it, so do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You did it, do it again. And I just try to come up with new ideas. And that's all I've done over the last couple months.
Well, and that's kind of like the thesis of this whole conversation, right? We're saying pivot your business. We're saying think of new avenues to generate revenue. We're thinking of, even if it's not your business, like what are you doing at home that could make supplement that income that you're losing. And that's really the thesis of this whole conversation. And really the thesis, the general like lesson to be learned from COVID is like a blanket statement for anything could fucking happen, dude. Like
anything.
Yeah.
Like think about how quickly it changed. You know, I quit the Axe Club on my last day.
Yeah.
Like I gave him lots of notice, so I gave him like 2 months notice. But even on my last day, which was March 12th, a Friday, I'm pretty sure that was a Friday. Everything was shut down on Sunday, March 14th. And I still didn't know. Like on the Friday, no one did. Didn't even know on the Saturday. Sunday, everything shut down for 6 months.
Yeah.
Like, so or whatever, you know, like whatever it was. But isn't that crazy? Like
it's
the whole economy shut down for months.
It was gone.
And I was like still feeling confident quitting my job, like a part-time job.
Unprecedented. But like it, you know, once in 100 years, they're saying, like, if that, this kind of thing happens.
Yeah.
And I love the comments on, I actually just read one today. Someone was saying about CERB going away and, you know, some guy was commenting, well, fuck, guess you should have had lots of savings. Like, are you kidding me right now? Like, you're going to, okay, sure, you should have some money saved, okay, whatever. But not everybody can do that, and nobody's 100% prepared for a pandemic.
No. Yeah.
No. Like, give me a break.
No. You need to learn how to make, you need to learn how to produce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? To adapt to this, to adapt to any situation and to be able to produce through it.
Yeah,
I think that's a key skill in staying alive.
Yeah,
I'm thinking that like those months at home really shook up a lot of. I hope this isn't derogatory. It sounds derogatory in my head, but I'm gonna say it. Cubicle people.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I think it shook up a lot of people because they're like, you know, you basically get a cubicle job because it's security. Right.
Quote,
like
unquote,
you think it's a security thing, right? It's where, you know, it's a big corporation.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting a weekly paycheck. I've got benefits. I've got all this stuff. And you're not immune to shit like this.
No.
You know, like you just, you know, and
security. There is no security.
There's no security. So there's the illusion of security when you have a desk to go to Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. It's very routine and everything like that.
Yeah.
But then once you get shaken up, I bet that was a real mental toll on a lot of people, you know?
Well, if you ask me, we're entrepreneurs in a sweet spot right now because I've said it in the best of times, there's no ceiling for us. There's no ceiling.
Yeah.
So we know that, you know, there's opportunity in everything and that you can just create it and it can happen. And it sounds easier said, it is easier said than done, but you can do it.
It's hard. It's always going to be hard to produce and survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we were talking the other day and I like to use the analogy of like, it's almost like wilderness survival.
Yeah.
You know, like you need to be adaptable.
Yeah.
And it's the exact same. If you don't have that skill and you can't, you know, in a wilderness situation, if you can't go out and, you know, produce a fire or fish, yep. And you can't do these things.
Well, the thing is, we're our muscles already flex that way. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. We already know how to do that.
So yeah,
right.
I remember sending you a text early on. I said to Jordan, "We're built for this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is. Yeah. We're okay. Yeah. Like we'll always be okay because we'll always find ways to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're right. It's for those people. And again, I don't give a fuck if it's derogatory or not.
Cubicle people. CPs.
CPs. But it does actually piss me off because you do hear that from a lot of those people. You know, I'm in a secure job.
Yeah.
I'm in a secure job.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Like, you're not.
Yeah, dude, it's not even fucking secure. You have the best of times. Like, I was a CP once, you know?
Yeah.
Back in the day, I was a CP, and it was like, the only reason one of the reasons that I quit was because I was like, wow, this is a real illusion of security, mm-hmm. you know? Because, I know, I've told the story a million times, and, you know, apologies to anyone who's heard it already, but, like, when I was working there, they would always lay people off once a year. Like, I think it was, like, around March or April or something like that, because that's their end of year. So they're going over budgets, and it was a...
What a terrifying time.
Oh, my gosh. You know,
people, employees in a business, to just know that there's, like, a guillotine fucking just waiting for you.
Yep.
Totally. And that's...
How do you feel secure?
How do you do your job?
It's exactly what it is.
Why do you do your job?
Why do you do it?
No. And the reason that you do it is you do the bare minimum to get by, because you're going to get a paycheck anyways. There's no real motivation to do anything above and beyond. And then as soon as you get to a point where you've been working there forever, given your whole life to a company, and your salary is so inflated because you've just been like getting that 2% raise every year or whatever. Thank you so much for that, by the way. And then you get so inflated that they just lay you off or whatever, like give you a tap on the shoulder by security, which is literally what it is. They tap you on the shoulder and they say, pack up your shit, and they walk you out to make sure that you don't steal anything. That happened to a woman that had worked there for 42 years.
I remember you saying that.
And they tapped her on the shoulder, said, get your stuff together and walk out with me, and you're going to go to the car and you're never coming back here. And then they hire someone who's fresh out of school, you know, for a quarter of the salary, who's happy to do it, and
because
that's
they
that.
Think it's secure,
and it all starts up again, you know, and that's crazy, you know. Yeah. That was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. Not to mention that I was just fucking depressed, and it was a shit job, or whatever. But
it's always messed with my head that people live to go to work, to go to jobs like that, and I've said it before, and I'm super passionate about it. I have friends who we sat down for breakfast one time, and I tried to talk to them about doing what you love for a living. And they looked at me like I had two heads. Well, guess what? You already knew what you wanted to do from when you were a kid, and it was easy for me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No. You choose to do something, you put in the work, you put in the time, and then guess what? It magically happens.
Yeah.
After 20 years of doing it.
Yeah.
Like, no. It's not easy.
Well, I saw that post that you did the other day. You just like reposted it or whatever, but it was, you're so talented. Like, no, it's practice. It's like, oh wow, this is like magic. Yeah. No, it's practice. It's like, wow, it just kind of appeared out of nowhere.
Just happened.
No, it's practice.
That was funny. I looked at that after, and that was for musicians.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the same thing. And it pisses me off to the point where, like, I can't hear it anymore. I just can't. I'd be like, if you want something, you get it. Period. Like, stop whining.
Yeah.
If you don't like what you're doing, figure it out. Do something else. Even if it's another 9 to 5, maybe you'll like better.
It doesn't
like
have,
I'm not
you
I'm
don't
not
have
knocking.
To be an entrepreneur.
No. And you know what? If I didn't have any kind of artistic skill or creative skill, that would be me.
Yeah.
I'd be a 9 to 5er. So who? Yeah, that's great. Who cares?
And
there's nothing wrong with the security.
There's nothing not. But you have to. Point is, find something you love. They're out there. 9 to 5s are out there. Heidi, my wife has it. She loves it. 9 to 5.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Know. Yeah. And then you know, if you have a sweet hobby on the side that you're gonna retire with, that's great too.
Sure.
Like whatever. But the point is, you gotta have some sort of like creative outlet, or else you're gonna go nuts, or you're gonna just become boring.
Yeah. You need a purpose. Right.
There's got to be a. That's
I'm sorry,
gotta,
like, yeah.
That's got to be there. But hey, you could be a numbers person.
A beer? Yeah. Is that?
Yeah, I'll just have another one, another light. Jordan's just gonna grab us another Publican light. And
actually, hey Jordan.
Yeah.
You wanna just grab me a glass?
Yeah.
Cause that decanter's calling my name.
Oh yeah. So we'll just take a brief moment and say that our sister, Jordan, our sister was here over the weekend.
Not my sister.
No, not your sister. and she brought a whole bunch of her hooligans with her. And it was a fun time. And then as a thank you, I got a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jordan got a whole flask of whiskey. Pretty nice.
It's a great gift.
I didn't actually expect that from Steph. She won't listen to this anyway, so it's okay. Oh, she might listen.
She might listen.
Love you.
Thanks, Steph.
I think that's the end of my rant, because I do it too often, I think. But it's just because I'm so passionate about it. If you think, again, said it so many times, but like, you only have a certain amount of time. Like, what are you going to spend it doing? Like, even if it's hard, say you have two bad years, which probably are coming for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Guess
mm-hmm.
what? There's still another 40 years in your future where this is going to end and life's going to continue, and then new opportunities are presented from what's happening now.
Yeah. You know what? Like, after I quit that job, I went to university, which was a risk, and I was like super poor during the whole thing. And I was a lot older than my classmates and all that stuff. But I was like, oh man, 4 years, like, am I really going to spend 4 years building myself up? Like, is it worth that investment to like waste that, you know, quote unquote, waste that time and not have them be like earning years. Right. Yeah. So,
I just opened a beer with a knife. That was the first, sorry, go ahead.
So, but then looking back on it, it was the best decision I'd ever made. And I was thinking about it the other day, and I was like, what was I so worried about, like, spending 4 years to grow myself? You know, like,
God.
I spent 4 years shitting my pants when I was born. Do you wear a diaper till you're about four?
Yeah.
Probably, right?
Close to it.
Yeah.
Maybe some kids who are slowly developing, yes. Yeah.
So anytime you think about wasting, 3 to 4 years, think about that. You spend 4 years shitting your pants and you turned out just fine.
Yeah, but
you can go to the bathroom just fine.
Now. Yeah. And the time passes, and no matter what.
I mean, exactly.
I always say that, like, as far as, whatever you're doing as far as working out, or you could spend that time doing certain things, and the time passes and you look back and you're like, oh, shit, those 2 years passed, and I guess what? They're gone, and I could have done so much in that time.
Yeah. Actually, one of Steph's friends said something that I was like, you're an idiot, man. Like, Steph was like, oh, I want to go snowboarding for my birthday. I want to try snowboarding again. Cause she's been before, and like, she just like hasn't done it in a number of years. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Like, she knows how to snowboard. And then he was like, oh man, don't be doing that. Like, you're way too old for that kind of thing.
I was stupid.
Like, to learn a new skill like that. Yeah. I was like, she's 26. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh my God.
And he's like, yeah, man, like, you're way too old for that kind of thing.
I wish I was there for that conversation.
I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah. Oh yeah. I was like, what are you talking about? And he's just like, yeah, like, you know, you can't be doing that when you're that old. Like, you hurt yourself, whatever. I was like, dude. Yeah. So I just kind of was mocking him a little bit, being like, oh yeah, yeah, Steph, your life is over. Like, don't even think
don't
about
try.
Learning any new skills now.
No.
You better just wait till retirement.
Yeah.
Just
what you got to make it through.
Basically, just do what you've been doing for the next 30 years, and then you can retire and sit on the dock
and
or
do
whatever.
Well,
I was like, you got to be shitting
me.
The
scary
man.
Thing about that is that's a large portion of the population. They're just just sit back, put in your time, let it happen, and eventually you'll get to retire.
Yeah.
Like, no thanks.
It's not the way that I want to live, I don't
no.
think. Yeah.
Okay, so I think we've shit on people.
I think we shit on people. let's all climb down from our high horse now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what you guys have going on, because I know you have some really cool things happening now.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, you, actually, are we allowed you to witnessed say it
mm-hmm.
today
yeah.
in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's official.
Okay. I think we're allowed to say it. I'm going to say it anyways. Yeah.
Pull back the curtain on this.
Pull back the curtain, yeah.
Yeah.
After months and months. Like, how many months do you think that was?
It was probably... I'm gonna guess four. Could be three.
I wanted to look back and see when... No, because you were in your house. Anyways, it was probably about 3 months of, like, working to get this client. It's a large, probably the largest client in terms of location size and everything like that we have right now. Yeah, it's a national client. Growers Retail. It's a weed shop in town in Peterborough. They have their store open right now just across from No Frills on George Street. And they are opening another one, I believe, at Fowler's Corner soon. And then they just opened three locations in Toronto. And they've got a couple scattered across the country with their main base being out of Vancouver, British Columbia.
Is it the same guy?
It's the same guy. Same guy. So this guy is like the busiest guy that I've ever dealt with.
Ever met in my life.
Dude, every single time we call him, like, we'll have a meeting scheduled for 10. Happened today even.
Yeah.
A meeting scheduled for 10. Call him at 10. He'll answer and be like, hey, let me just call you back in an hour.
Yeah.
Like, let me just call you back. And like,
but that's how busy you should be.
For sure.
You know what
And he's like, I got to call you back now. I'm just driving to the airport. I'm coming to Toronto. It's like, all right. I'll call you back when you get there. Yeah. I'm driving to Peterborough to do this.
Thing. Yeah.
I don't want to use the word hustle.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's tainted.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're hustling, that's how busy you should be.
For sure.
Yes.
Right?
So I want to hyper focus on this because I was thinking about it while it happened over there. Another awesome part of sharing a space.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that moment. Those kind of moments are the ones that I personally live for.
Mm-hmm.
That I love. Those highs are the best. So
yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
That's what it's all about. Man.
So just describe, and you can take as long as you want. But like, so you're working for it for a couple months, say,
mm-hmm.
and then you hear on the phone that it's. So just go through that. So as far as what was the call? Like, what was the call?
Well, first of all, I was sick to my stomach because I was like, no.
Well, like he thinks that I jinxed it on Friday. Like, he was worried that I was going to jinx it because we had a fairly, like...
Very very positive call on the Friday before today, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And every time I, like, open my mouth before something's, like, done, doesn't happen. So I just, like, I don't like to even talk about anything. Otherwise, it's my fault.
Yes.
If it doesn't happen, it's my fucking fault.
Right.
So
because you uttered the words.
Yeah.
Like, this is great. Oh, shit.
We're done.
Put it in the books.
Yeah.
And no.
Then start spending that money.
Big screen for the office. Yeah.
So I didn't open my mouth about it.
Yeah. Well, it was a conference call. Sean was he was at home or something. And I was here. And, like, Michael, our contact there, he hung up the phone, and I was, like, kind of fed up, honestly, because, like I said, we've been doing this for months, and a month ago, I thought we were going to figure out whether or not we were going to get it or not, right?
Yep.
And they were talking to other companies, which, you know, I don't blame them for. Obviously, you need to do that, do your due diligence. But I was like, man, what are the chances of us getting, like, come on. like, give it to me straight here. So, like, and he's like, good. Yeah, like, I think they're good, you know? And so... couple other like small little nods to it sort of thing, and when he hung up, Sean and I were like left on the phone together, and I was like, did we just get Growers Retail? And he's like, I am not saying shit, man. Like, I was like, I think we got it. He's like, shut the fuck up.
Sean hangs up.
Yeah. But, so I was sick to my stomach waiting for the call.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you know it was coming?
Yeah, because we knew that today. Because on that call on Friday, he was like, "Listen, we have a meeting on Friday."
Spur of the moment call.
Yeah, or maybe that call was on the Thursday, and he's like, "Listen, we have a call, or we have a meeting about it on Friday."
Yeah,
and then I will let you guys know for sure on Monday.
Yeah,
okay. So, anyways.
Yeah. So I sick to my stomach going into this thing, and it was very positive right off the bat, and it was. I haven't been that excited for something in a very long time, probably since we got this place.
Well, first of all, we called him. We had a meeting set for 10. Sean calls him. Let me call you back in 15 minutes.
Oh, shit. I was
like, come on, dude. Oh. Waiting all weekend for this.
Yeah. And it's just amazing because you work for something for so long.
Yeah.
You know? and then it comes through.
But what was like, talk about what the call was. So he called you back?
Yeah, he called me back. I conferenced Jordan in and
dropped the call.
And I heard him say, "I think we're ready to," and then it dropped. Yeah. And
you're like, "Oh fuck it."
No. So I call him back, and you know, have a bit of a laugh about that. But then, he's like, you know, I think we want to give you guys a shot and
ready to move forward.
You know, yeah.
Basically, he was like, we'll do it for the first month and like make sure it's all good and you know, as any client would say, right?
Sure.
So that's fine with you.
Oh, 100%.
And I have no worries about like killing it. So
we have the team to crush it. So
got the contract.
That's wicked.
So we were on the conference call. So Sean was just like standing outside the door there, and I was, you know, standing by you basically. And as soon as he said that, like I think we're gonna move forward and do it, I just like held the phone and was like, yes, you know, like yes.
You mute it.
Yeah. And I just like held it like this, and then. Yeah, totally. Cool. Sounds good. Yeah.
That's great. Okay. I guess we can move forward. I guess we're comfortable with that.
So then, yeah. And then.
No, then I saw you walk over to Sean.
Oh, it's just super.
And then you melted in your seat.
Yeah. I
really
just
after that call.
He was really relaxed.
Oh, man. Just like the biggest sigh of relief. I mean, like I said, it's just been months of anticipation,
what I think of
right?
As an entrepreneur, but a visual artist is like, I think about what bills are being covered with that.
Yeah.
I always go ahead and think, you know, okay, wicked. So this covers this, this, and this. Now this frees up time for this, this, and this.
Yeah.
Like,
but it's not even really our biggest client in terms of pay exactly,
but status it is.
It's a big status thing.
I always also think of things in terms of next opportunity. Yeah. So you now have this, which will get you this, which will get you this.
It opens up so much for us. And it's also very in line with what we want to do business wise. Like you know, we opened this thing to make life easier for small businesses, and that was the initial goal. So we're going to stick to that. But but to have somebody on this scale, you know, give us a chance and is really, it feels amazing.
That's awesome.
It feels great.
It just, like you said, it opens up the opportunity and like gives us some clout in the on the national scale, right? Yeah. So the next time that when the next national client comes across, we're going to say, yep, we've done successful work with this company. And this is our second kind of big client, right? Like we work with Big Brothers, Big Sisters Canada.
Yeah.
Well, Toronto, it's Toronto.
Yeah.
But it's one of the largest branches of that very large business. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, it's on the same sort of scale as that. And that is the ultimate goal. I mean, obviously, just to scale up and have that national recognition. So now people in Toronto, people in Calgary, people in BC are going to know, you know, some people at least are going to know New Foss Media in Peterborough, Ontario. That's fucking sick. You know,
it's amazing.
And you know, our name is going to be there. And Michael is a great contact to have. Obviously, he's a really busy guy. He's got some stuff going on.
But not only that, you guys are still a young company.
Yeah.
So which is
like
another 18, great thing.
It's like 18 months.
Pretty
in
much.
Like
yeah.
That, a little,
yeah.
Maybe a little past that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
17 months.
Yeah. It's cool to look at it from a work perspective in terms of many of our sales are one phone call sales.
Mm-hmm.
So it's somebody calls
or one meeting sales or whatever
it
is.
They want something done. One meeting sales because of this COVID thing now. It's
right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, one meeting sales where somebody just they talk to us and they're like, "Hey, I need social," and we're like, "Okay, we can do that. This is how much it costs. This is what it looks like," and it's very very simple.
Yeah.
But this is a. Like we worked for this.
Mm-hmm.
We worked very hard for this.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't without its speed bumps either, too.
Yeah.
Like there was a few times where we're like, we hung up the phone and said, "That's it. We're done."
Yeah.
Didn't get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of, again, did that pivot, did that readjust, and didn't lose faith in it too. And if you really want it, you'll find a way sort of thing. Right.
Yeah. I think that's like probably the number one message with anything.
Yeah.
If you really want it, you'll find a way. You'll find it, and it's in you to do it if you really want it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was mentally prepared for him to say no, we've chosen another company, but be like, yeah, that's cool, but I'm gonna call you next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna call you next year, and we're gonna do this.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And then if you say no, I'm gonna call you the year after
that.
And then the year after that, because I want this.
And then the year after that, we won't call because we're too big to deal with it.
But, you know, like, that's how bad we wanted it.
Yeah.
And so it is, it's a fucking home run.
Yeah.
It feels amazing.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's a home run.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And just, like you said, those one meeting deals are awesome. And there's a lot of times we'll hang up the phone and high five or do whatever and just, like, get jacked up about something cool. But this one was... It was something that we worked for a while, and you know, 3 months is, you know, doesn't sound like that long, but when you're putting this much work in, and also we're tasking some of the employees with doing research, we're tasking ourselves with like jumping on 20 calls.
We paid a fair bit of money for like research, and stuff to go into this too.
Yeah. So it was an investment, right?
That's smart.
Yeah.
Which again, competitors may not have done. They would have just been like, hey, we're big enough, they'll choose us.
Yeah.
Right. Or not.
You know, and then it doesn't matter. We did a ton of research. We paid for employees to do a ton of research and give us proposals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then we'd modify those. It was...
Yeah.
Like, quite frankly, we were basically working with them.
Mm-hmm.
it almost felt like it, based on the amount of work we were doing.
And guess what, everybody? This all happened during a pandemic.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and you guys didn't stop? You didn't be like, okay, we're going to take a breather.
And again, like, this wasn't a company that reached out to us either, you know?
Yeah.
It was something that we have systems in place. I'm not going to really say what they are exactly and all our secrets, basically. But we have systems in place where it's, well, first of all, legal and, like, ethical to reach out to certain companies to just see if they need anything, right? And this was one of those leads that came back and said, hey, we're looking for someone to do this.
Yeah.
And it just snowballed from
And that was one of our... The way we got this this lead, too, was due to a COVID pivot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was... Basically, I'm gonna divulge a little bit here.
Yeah.
You know, you can peek through the curtain.
Yeah.
But we basically found... a bit of a way around CASEL law, which is Canadian anti-spam law. So you can't just like email anybody.
Okay.
It's illegal to email somebody who doesn't have contact with you.
Okay.
And just ask for their business.
Okay.
But we found a bit of a workaround.
That's interesting because I feel like I get all kinds of shit like that.
You do.
Oh, that guy that called me just now, that's a legal phone call. That's an illegal phone call. Yeah.
I thought you could just do that.
No, you can't just do that. You can't just call someone up and ask for money. People do it to me and Sean, or I get LinkedIn messages every day from people that I'm not a connection with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we found a very very legal sort of workaround that we were able to kind of do, I guess, through the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And because I guess Michael had joined the chamber around the time that we did it. And we kind of did a blast out to all these different businesses, and he was one that responded back and said, you know,
that's awesome.
We're interested in this. Mm-hmm. And but it was born because almost out of I don't want to say desperation, but it was like we need to figure out how to pivot and how to and how to conjure business
from thin air.
from thin air, because if you're working for yourself, you need to learn how to create money. Not just make money, but you need to learn how to create it.
Oh, yeah.
And this is one of those moments where we were able to, like, to do that. And it proved to be successful. So that was a real win.
Mm-hmm.
Real win for Team New Foss here.
Holy shit, I love that.
Yeah.
That's probably the best, what you just said is the best part of the podcast. Honestly, because there's certain things like that I wouldn't even really think of. Like, I know from an artist perspective what I do.
Yeah.
But, like, technically, things like that. No idea.
Well, the other thing too is like I think we have a good foot on you know when it comes to pivoting in this sort of thing, because our business is to make other businesses money.
Yeah.
So if we can't do that for ourselves, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So
yeah. It's all, it's like all the life coaches who are like 23 years old.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. Like yeah. It's the same kind of thing.
Buy my sales mastermind course for $300. Yeah, $4,000.
You'll learn what I've done in the first 15 years of my life, you know, when yeah. I was five. Started like when I was five.
Every day since I stopped shitting my pants when I was 4 years old.
Yeah, there's actually a wicked YouTube channel. I think it's called My Fake Guru. Don't quote me on that, but I mm-hmm. think it's called My Fake Guru. Yeah. And this guy goes, and he pays, and he does those programs, and he exposes those people.
Oh,
and
that's the best.
And sometimes he's like 8 months into a program and he's like, I don't know when I'm gonna learn how to do this.
Oh my god.
So it's just
specifically
a lot
of, you know what, I'm gonna actually say something here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna there's this thing called, or this program that this company called KT9 University.
Mm-hmm.
something like that.
Yeah.
That they do. And
I think I just saw
there's some of the biggest fucking bullshitters on the planet.
Yes. Just saw an ad about that.
Yeah, and you know, I obviously they know how to market, which is maybe what they should be doing.
Yeah.
Because you know everyone sees their posts.
It was a girl running towards the camera.
Oh fuck yeah, yeah.
That's what I saw today.
She's a lunatic.
Yeah, she was running and screaming at the camera. Yes. I'm like, what is this?
That's their thing.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
It is just scream and draw attention.
That's funny. I just saw it this morning.
Yeah.
Wow.
But this dude exposes that company and a few others.
That's
wild. And their whole programs and how it's like, you know, you like they kind of like lead up to stuff. So it's like, oh, it's $29 right now. And then it's like, okay, you know, I didn't learn anything right now, but I'm getting into the spot where I'm going to learn something, but I have to pay $200 now. So they're like, okay, I'll do that. Cause now you're invested already.
We're getting close. Mm-hmm. We're getting close.
You already have, you know,
how are you not having like red flags pop up in your brain at that point?
People,
like, why am I you're asking me for more money? Like,
I think people do, but they also want to justify their money. Right. So they want to just keep spending money till the point where they do get something in return. They're like, yep, this was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's never worth it.
Just
yeah,
a giant
and
bullshit
like, well,
carrot
what the
yeah.
fuck?
In front of them.
Bullshit yeah. carrot. Yeah.
So.
Wow. That's
yeah.
crazy. Well, there is a lot of that out there, and I mean, it's just the age of the internet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's gonna be people who are gonna fall for it.
You just gotta have a good bullshit radar. Yeah. With stuff like that.
Yeah. Even a small percentage of people. That's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
So. All right. Yeah. Well, I think we'll end it off. I guess.
Yeah.
We're like, it's 5 to 5, and I should get home.
Yeah.
So we're going to end it with another tidbit of what people should do right now, to try to get through this and keep making money, feed their families.
Like, some advice on how to go through.
Yeah.
It's hard to give advice, honestly.
It can be specific, practical, or it can just be like,
yeah.
You know.
I would say I would go back to what I was talking about before. If you're a business owner and you have Google Ads going that you've created, go on and see the optimization percentage on it, like the score on it. Because if it's below
70,
yeah, I guess 100% or like 85% at the lowest, give someone a call. It doesn't have to be us. Give someone a call and like get your money's worth on this stuff.
Like
right?
Me, where do you find that? Like, where do you just?
It's right on the platform, actually.
Is
so
it?
if you go to campaigns and you look at your dashboard and you actually scroll down your dashboard, you'll see your optimization score.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's from 1 to 100. And if it's 100, you're doing a good job.
Because I'm a dumbass. So what I'll do is I'll put ads out and then I'm like, oh, it's getting lots of follows and likes. Mm. Yeah.
Well, that's like, good. That's good too.
I mean, that's all I'm looking at. I don't know, but I think it's important for people to know, like, if you want to dive a little deeper and like really get to know what you're doing.
Yeah,
that's good.
Mm-hmm. Something I would also advise is to really take some time and research this time we're in. Know what people are allowed to do. Know what people aren't allowed to do, and you know, really see where you can bring value to somebody.
Yeah,
because the more information you're collecting in that respect,
yeah,
the more ideas that you'll have, because you'll have that information to be like, this is possible, this isn't, and it'll just come to you, really, I think.
Yeah. Research, man.
Yeah.
Just keep fucking reading.
Yeah.
And at some point, you very likely will think of something that is going to bring value to somebody. and that equals money. That's how you make money.
Yeah.
Right? That's exactly. How you create
solving
money.
Problems, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine would be if you're already an entrepreneur, even if you're, I guess if you're not, don't stop what you're doing. If you believe in what you're doing and you have a great idea, or even if you're already in business and you're hitting rough times, just don't stop. Period.
That's right. Yeah.
You got to keep putting stuff out. You have to keep your mind active. You got to keep it away from negative thought because it doesn't do anything, especially now. So, yeah.
Yeah, and deal with your stress.
Deal with your stress.
Deal with it.
Because we all have it. even if on social it doesn't look like it, guess what? Yeah. We all are experiencing it.
Don't be fooled by the veil.
No, no. So thanks, everybody. That was episode 30. Thanks, Publican, for the beer. We bought these beers. But we are also getting free beer from Publican, so thank you for
that. We just drink them too quick.
Yeah.
We drink your beers too quick.
Yeah. So. And I guess that's it. So everyone, I hope you're keeping well and stay safe. And this thing's not over yet, so make sure you're doing everything you need to do to keep safe.
Thanks for having us on, man.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back.